Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Within thy light of glory, and out I lose the earth clouds drear and wild. Within thy love is safe, abiding.
Tonight's title is Safety in Divine Science. I'll read from the Bible, Ezekiel. They shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Genesis. And God said unto Noah, Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. With thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. He sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Proverbs. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Daniel. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against us, Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth it not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Psalms. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Acts. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. John. Jesus, saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The divine principle of healing is proved in the personal experience of any sincere seeker of truth. Its purpose is good, and its practice is safer and more potent than that of any other sanitary method. ARC. Safety. The idea or reflection of truth proved to be as immortal as its principle. The understanding of spirit, destroying belief in matter. God and man coexistent and eternal. Science, showing that the spiritual realities of all things are created by him and exist forever. The arc indicates temptation overcome and followed by exaltation. Jesus demonstrated the inability of corporeality as well as the infinite ability of spirit, thus helping erring human sense to flee from its own conviction and seek safety in divine science. In divine science, the supposed laws of matter yield to the law of mind. The history of Christianity furnishes sublime proofs of the supporting influence and protecting power bestowed on man by his heavenly Father, omnipotent mind, who gives man faith and understanding whereby to defend himself not only from temptation, but from bodily suffering. Mind's government of the body must supersede the so-called laws of matter. Obedience to material law prevents full obedience to spiritual law. The law which overcomes material conditions and puts matter under the feet of mind. Mortals entreat the divine mind to heal the sick and forthwith shut out the aid of mind by using material means, thus working against themselves and their prayers and denying man's God-given ability to demonstrate mind's sacred power. Pleas for drugs and laws of health come from some sad incident or else from ignorance of Christian Science and its transcendent power. Understanding the control which love held over all, Daniel felt safe in the lion's den, and Paul proved the viper to be harmless. All of God's creatures moving in the harmony of science are harmless, useful, indestructible. A realization of this grand verity was a source of strength to the ancient worthies. It supports Christian healing and enables its possessor to emulate the example of Jesus. And God saw that it was good. In divine science, God and the real man are inseparable as divine principle and idea. The real man cannot depart from holiness, nor can God, by whom man is evolved, engender the capacity or freedom to sin. In divine science, man is sustained by God, the divine principle of being. The earth, at God's command, brings forth food for man's use. Knowing this, Jesus once said, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink," presuming not on the prerogative of his Creator, but recognizing God, the Father and Mother of all, as able to feed and clothe man as he doth the lilies. We cannot build safely on false foundations. Truth makes a new creature in whom old things pass away and all things are become new. Passions, selfishness, false appetites, hatred, fear, all sensuality yield to spirituality. And the superabundance of being is on the side of God good. The terms divine science, spiritual science, Christ science, or Christian science, or science alone, she employs interchangeably according to the requirements of the text context. These synonymous terms stand for everything relating to God, the infinite, supreme, eternal mind. It may be said, however, that the term Christian science relates especially to science as applied to humanity. Christian science reveals God not as the author of sin, sickness, and death, but as divine principle, supreme being, mind exempt from all evil. It teaches that matter is the falsity, not the fact of existence. Sickness, sin, and death are not the fruits of life. They are in harmonies, which truth destroys. Perfection does not animate imperfection. Divine science reveals these grand facts. If exposure to a draft of air while in a state of perspiration is followed by chills, dry cough, influenza, congestive symptoms in the lungs, or hints of inflammatory rheumatism, your mind remedy is safe and sure. If you are a Christian scientist, such symptoms are not apt to follow exposure. But if you believe in laws of matter and their fatal effects when transgressed, you are not fit to conduct your own case or to destroy the bad effects of your belief. When the fear subsides and the conviction abides that you have broken no law, neither rheumatism, consumption, nor any other disease will ever result from exposure to the weather. In science, This is an established fact which all the evidence before the senses can never overrule. Sickness, sin, and death must at length quail before the divine rights of intelligence, and then the power of mind over the entire functions and organs of the human system will be acknowledged. Now, cried the apostle, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Meaning not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Now is the time for so-called material pains and material pleasures to pass away, for both are unreal because impossible in science. To break this earthly spell, mortals must get the true idea and divine principle of all that really exists and governs the universe harmoniously. This thought is apprehended slowly, and the interval before its attainment is attended with doubts and defeats, as well as triumphs. Dove, a symbol of divine science, purity and peace, hope and faith. To understand God strengthens hope, enthrones faith in truth, and verifies Jesus' word, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Then from Fruitage. A few years ago, while under the sense of darkness and despair, caused by ill health and an unhappy home, Science and Health was loaned me with a request that I should read it. When I began with Science and Health, I read the chapter on prayer first, and at that time did not suppose it possible for me to remember anything I read. But I felt a sweet sense of God's protection and power, and a hope that I should at last find him to be what I so much needed, a present help in time of trouble. Before that chapter on prayer was finished, my daughter was downstairs eating 3 meals a day and daily growing stronger. Before I had finished reading the textbook, she was well, but never having heard that the reading of Science and Health healed anyone, it was several months before I gave God the glory. One by one, my many ailments left me, all but the headaches. They were less frequent until, at the end of 3 years, the fear of them was entirely overcome. When divine science is universally understood, they will have no power over man, for man is immortal and lives by divine authority. In our age, Christianity is again demonstrating the power of divine principle as it did over 1900 years ago by healing the sick and triumphing over death. Jesus never taught that drugs, food, air, and exercise could make a man healthy, or that they could destroy human life. Nor did he illustrate these errors by his practice. He referred man's harmony to mind, not to matter, and never tried to make of none effect the sentence of God, which sealed God's condemnation of sin, sickness, and death. security for the claims of harmonious and eternal being is found only in divine science. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Let's sing our second hymn, which is 297. I'm reading the third verse. Place of communion with the Lamb of God, fold where the sheep must pass beneath his rod. Ark, where the dove may close her faltering wings. Love's law divine that makes us priests and kings. Hymn number 297.
Thank you.
Good evening again, and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line. It's so nice that you are there and listening in. I have no formal announcements. Joan has the microphone. And just make sure that you hold it nice and close so everybody online can hear what you're saying, and everybody in the audience as well. I can't wait to hear your input for this service. Thank you.
When I was about 8 years old, our house caught on fire. It was during the day, and you know, there was safety, not concerning individuals or people. I don't think there was any doubt that, I mean, nobody was close to being hurt. But the story ends up with the house experiencing some safety. And that is, we lived in the country, and they did not have a fire department. This is, you know, way back in the ancient days. And so there was really no way to get help. My dad was sort of prominent in a way in the city, and he knew the fire chief, and he called, and the fire chief was willing to come out. I think he tried to bring a truck or two, but we lived up on a pretty high hill, and the fire truck wasn't able to make it up the hill. But the chief came, and when he arrived, the first thing he told my dad is that the house was going to burn to the ground, that there was no way it could be saved. It happened that like I say, nobody was in danger, but we couldn't find my grandmother. And it turns out that she had walked way, and we lived on in a country field, wooded area, and she had walked out into that area, and she was the person that brought my family into Christian Science. And what she was doing out there where nobody could see her or find her, she was praying. And she prayed for over an hour. And during that time, people were stopping on the highway and coming in and carrying stuff out of the house. It was a three-story house with a basement. So the three stories were in addition to the basement. They were up above the basement. It was a fairly large house and big. And these people just were stopping and bringing all the furniture down and out and putting it on the lawn. There was some other aspect of the situation. I can't remember it right now. But the point was, they also either had in their cars or they went home and came back. There were a lot of sprinkler or fire hose, well, extinguishers. Yeah, there were a lot of extinguishers that arrived on the scene. So there was a lot of help going on. But for all these things to happen, it just appealed to me after listening to the lesson today that it really was my grandmother and the praying that was going on that caused all these people to stop and that caused all the things to happen that happened. Because when it was all said and done, after a couple of hours, the only damage that was done was to the third floor. The rest of the house was completely safe, and this fire chief was an excellent fire chief. When he arrived and knew that his trucks weren't going to make it and all this and that, he knew that the house was going to burn to the ground. And all that got damaged was the third floor. And I think most of us slept in the house that night. And it was just occurred to me while listening to the lesson that that was a wonderful experience of safety for our home. So I made me think a lot about my grandmother. Very grateful.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to give this testimony here, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. You know, when you go through your life and there's certain times where you're struggling mentally, there's just things that just are shooting at you from different ways, and it's not necessarily physical, it's sometimes mental. And you just pray, and you know that God's going to lead you to the answer, and you just keep listening, and you keep listening, and you think, you know, what is it that I need to do, and what is it that I need to be thinking? And that's sort of been happening to me for the past, I don't know, some months here, and it's a lot of it's work, and I've just, I thought, I don't know, you know? And I don't know, last Sunday was a good service, and I think it was Sunday night that I was led to open the April journal, and I was led to read this article, and it was called Let the Shepherd Lead. And I don't know how many of you have read that yet, because the journals come, seems like those journals come a month before the date is due. So it's in the April one, and it's called Let the Shepherd Lead. And when I read the very first sentence, I said, well, I think this is an article that's going to help me. And the very first sentence says, are you overwhelmed by a tidal wave of tasks? Waking up feeling as though you're already behind before you've ever gotten out of bed. Being stressed by all that you have to do. And then at this core of pressure is a nagging sense of personal responsibility. Whether we're racing to meet deadlines at work, juggling demands at home, or fulfilling obligations to friends and loved ones, we may think we are the ones out there on our own responsible for keeping track of everything. And I thought, okay, I think, God, you're talking to me here. All right, now what do I need? What do I need here? And, you know, the beginning of this article, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's an analogy in this article that I can just remember it. And there's a lot of things I read in Christian Science for some reason, and I just can't remember them when I need them. But when I have an analogy, it just helps me. And I'm just hoping that when I give this testimony, and I tell you these things that have helped me, that it might help anyone else. The one part I will read at the beginning is, the answer is, however, this is not the truth about God's child. The real identity for each of us. And from God's point of view, we don't actually have any power apart from Him to make things happen. God is the only power, and He is all acting. And as God's creation, we are in truth God's spiritual expression, reflecting His intelligence, poise, and precision. As such, we are the very evidence of God's harmonious activity, which is ongoing every moment. So in a sense, you know, that was like, wow, that's peaceful. You know, I can go with that. But my problem is sometimes is that I forget. And I don't find something that's just, I'm sort of a to the point person, and, you know, logically, like, I need steps. I don't know. It's just the way I'm wired a little bit. But when I read this article, it talks about God is our shepherd. And then it talks about He guards and feeds and folds his sheep in his pasture. And it talks about the 23rd Psalm, and that's where I'm going with this, which begins, of course, "The Lord is my shepherd," and it illustrates how God cares for us. So I thought, okay, so in your head, you know, you've said that Psalm 100 times, millions of times, and so I said it to myself and thought, okay, I'm saying it, I'm understanding it, but am I really understanding it? Am I getting what this is? How can this Psalm help me with these problems? Well, the guy that, lady that wrote this was having trouble with the planning this and planning that, and there's a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by this man, Philip Keller, and he observed that sheep thrive best when they can spend plenty of time contented. I'm sorry, I have to have my notes. Lying in a pasture. However, sheep refuse to lie down. Now, this is just so fascinating to me, and this is why I'm relating this, these four things, to what now I can remember when I'm struggling. But however, sheep refuse to lie down unless four conditions are met. They must be free of all fear. They must be free of friction with other sheep. They must be free of pests and parasites. And they need to be free of hunger. And it's the shepherd's responsibility to ensure that these four criteria are satisfied, and a caring shepherd provides the right atmosphere for sheep to lie down and enjoy those green pastures. So I was like, wow, I'm sheep. I'm the sheep. God's the shepherd. And I thought, okay. And then I read his analogy, her analogy, and it was like, I can put those four things to my worries and my problems and everything that's coming. And I'm going to be able maybe to remember all the other truths that I've learned from Christian Science and from Mary Baker Eddy. And so the one is, I can turn to God to free myself from fear. And I can go on and on. But it really brings it in, and I know that. I do know that. We all know that. But just trying to remember that simple thing, you know, God can free myself from fear. Second, I need to correct mistaken sense of God's man. And that means, for me, the tension that I have possibly with somebody else that I'm working with, you know, an ill feeling, whatever, that I need to know that they're God's children and they're perfect. And I need to be looking at it that way. And that needs to be done. Third, I couldn't let myself be bugged like the parasites with the sheep. So the things that bug me are things that are those negative thoughts. What if this happens? What if that happens? And it's like, you got to get rid of that. It's not the what ifs, it's just the looking forward and the positives. And, you know, that's that third thing. You know, don't let things just bug you. Just overcome those. And the fourth thing, and, you know, and also with that one, it's like not to let things bug you, but also look at the things that you're grateful for and things that have worked out well. And so that really helped me. And the fourth thing is never see myself in a wanting state. So that relates to the hunger with the sheep. But with me and with this article with them, it's like don't think that there's always something that you have to do, that there's more that you have to do, that you have to be perfect, that you have to have perfect. And that sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'm a perfectionist. And if I don't have some little thing right, like I'm having a workshop, and if I just don't think everything is just right, then it's like stress. And I have to realize that I'm not in control, you know? God made me perfect. God made all of us perfect. Life is perfect. And I just have to realize, just let it go, you know? Things might not work out exactly, but you know what? They're going to work out. If you're doing good things, it's going to work out. So that article has really helped me, and it's helped me get through something that I've sort of been dealing with for a couple of months. And I've seen some good happen in the last couple of days of a few things that have come down the pike. But I'll leave you with this. God makes us, protects us, comforts us, and guides us. When we trust our divine shepherd to do his work, we can do ours without a sense of burden. We feel God's gentle, healing presence guiding us, and we can lie down in green pastures, peaceful and undisturbed. Thanks.
Thank you. It was April Sentinel?
April Journal. April Journal, 2019 April Journal.
All right.
Let the shepherd lead.
All right. Sounds like an excellent, excellent learning. You know, the Jesus taught in parables, and that's what you were saying, you know, it's something you can really relate to and all the readers, actually. That is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the readings. They were wonderful. You know, when you mentioned your topic the other day, I mean, you could have kept reading all night. I mean, there's just so many examples of safety and protection in the Bible, and I thought the ones you chose were excellent. I love the, I know I've shared with Sharon before, that where he says, I'm with you to the end of the world. I mean, that's very, very comforting words in the Bible for me. When I thought about what you were saying the other day with the topic, you know, the immediate things that come to mind for me is how I've been protected recently and in the last few years as far as some of the scrapes I've been in. And I've always been safe. I've always been protected. I've heard numerous testimonies in here about people who have been safe and who have been protected. And amazingly, my mind went back not to one of those, because I could easily go to any one of those, but my mind went back to when I was about 18 years old. I was in between terms of Ball State, and I was working at a factory. My mom knew a woman whose husband worked at a factory. It's American Art Clay. It's right across from Speedway, out in Speedway, Indiana. So just kind of a summer job, something to do, you know, make some money, go to school, that kind of thing. And so I was, it was almost like every day I was someplace else. I mean, they just kind of threw me wherever they wanted me to go. Well, they had this one belt area where they were making chalk. And you put all this stuff like in this extruder, and out comes the extruder, comes pieces of chalk. It's kind of really neat to watch this process, because it was all kinds of different art products that they make. They still do their own Guyon Road now. They're no longer there across from Speedway. Anyway, so I wasn't on it for very long. I think I was just like pinch hitting for somebody who was on a break or somebody who left early or something like that. And they put me over there to just mush this clay into this extruder so that it would come out and be chalk. Well, they had a stick, like a lollipop stick, or like a, you know, fudgesicle stick or something like that, whatever, to jam the stuff in there. But, you know, young and dumb, I wasn't thinking, and I was just going down. I stuck my finger in there to push my hand actually in there to push the clay down in there, and almost immediately my finger was cut. And I didn't know the extent to which it was cut. They wouldn't even let me look at it. They immediately went about what they were doing. They stuck it like in a thing of alcohol and called the ambulance and took me. Of course, it was at Speedway, so it wasn't too far away from the hospital. So they called my parents, and my mom came. And so I was laying on a gurney there, and like I said, my hand was all wrapped up, and I was concerned and whatever. And I think the first thing I said to my mom, or one of the first things I said to my mom, was about playing the piano. And something about playing the piano, will I ever be able to play the piano? And my mother was extremely, in the moment, as about the best way I can say it, is extremely in the moment. And she said, fear, she didn't exactly say fear not, but something along those lines, like, don't have a bit of fear about that. She said, you'll be fine. You'll be able to play the piano. You know, you'll be fine. And I didn't know. I mean, I was, you know, truth to fact here. I was through Sunday school. I wasn't attending church regularly here or in Muncie at the time. So I didn't have the backdrop, the immediacy backdrop. But of course, I was raised in Christian Science and my mother was there and reminding me that I was raised in Christian Science. And so I go in and there's a physician there and he's Asian, and they put my arm up underneath the tent. So I can't even see what he's doing. And it was under there for a long time. And of course, it was all numb. He's just in there working away. And he was talking to me a little bit, you know, kind of thing, trying to calm me down. And so before he did anything, he looked at it. And he said, we're going to do whatever we're going to do here. And he says, the way this works is in 24 hours, we're going to know what we know. We're going to know as much in 24 hours as there is to know. Wow. What a thought to have in your head when you're 18 years old and you love to play the piano and this is your hand they're talking about, right? It was my ring finger on my right hand side. And so he worked for a while and they sent me home. And we sat around the table at home. They ordered a pizza, just like, you know, it was another night at home. I couldn't eat. I was removed from Christian Science immediately, like where I'd been going, and like I had like, you know, the immediacy of a church family, like I would have now. It would be different if it happened now. But my mom was there. My sister was there. You know, my brother was there. And so the next day, my sister, because they didn't see me in 24 hours, see what's going on. And I was wrapped up big time. I was really, really wrapped. Like, I mean, I couldn't see or feel or reach or touch or anything. So the next day, my sister got the job of taking me back to see this guy. My mom had to work and my sister was at school and didn't have class or whatever the time to. So she drew the short straw, I guess, of taking me back to this place. And she kept telling me in the car, you'll be okay. She just kept saying, you'll be all right, you'll be okay. You know, don't worry about it, you'll be okay. Of course, my sister was raised in Christian Science too, and she just kept telling me that I would be okay. And so I went in there and waited to see the doctor. And so they take me back there, and the doctor starts unwrapping this, all these bandages around my hand. And it took him like 15 seconds, and he said, oh, you'll be fine. He said, you'll, said, there's no problem here whatsoever. He said, this will be fine. He said, you'll be 100%. That fraction came into play later, and I'll tell you here in just a second how it did. Long story short, yeah, and it did turn out, and I had a bag around my, I mean, it was kind of weird how it all worked out, but there was a point in time where it was like the end of my finger fell off, but that wasn't my finger. It was like something protecting my finger that had grown around my finger that allowed my finger to be perfect as it was, like it never was not. And it was almost like that fell off of there to say, like, see, your hand was perfect all the time. And so maybe three or four weeks later, I had to go back to the company, and they had insurance people there because it was a workman's comp thing. You know, they had insurance people there, they had doctors, they had all these people there, and they were going to look at my finger. This was for the purpose of determining what percentage of loss did I have, because that would be the amount that I would be awarded in dollars or cents, or that I was eligible to be awarded to in dollars and cents. I didn't know that. So they look it over, and they look it over, and they x-rayed it, they looked it over, and the whole deal. And the percent that I was due was absolutely zero. Zero. It was perfect. It's perfect today. It's been perfect forever. You know, I was 18 years old. I had a whole lot more piano playing to play before, you know, that it was not going to be interrupted. And again, when that all came apart, because I didn't know what I was looking at, but what I was looking at was protection. There was a protection there. It was never not right. It was protected that whole time. And when that fell off, I thought my finger fell off. And it was not my finger at all. It was like, and you know, they said, well, maybe you won't be able to grow a finger. I mean, all these things. You can't grow a fingernail, this, that, whatever, might be whatever. That finger is perfectly fine. And I think as I absorbed this topic that you were doing the other day, as I thought about that and as I thought about some of the scrapes I've been in, you know, I thought about many things. I've never had a broken bone. Never. Not even close. And I was in every sport you could be in. I roughhoused with Kent and the Fosters and those guys all the time growing up. And we did everything you could do, fell out of this tree and did this and so on and so forth, whatever. And I guess your topic just really hit home with me. And I thought initially it would be on the surface, again, of these scrapes that I had been involved in the last couple of years here, I guess, or whatever. You know, the target that's on the car that I drive out there back that everybody wants to take a shot at. But, you know, the other thing I thought about that, too, was protection and safety. Not just the times that I've been in an altercation, but all the times I haven't been in an altercation, that I've been protected and I've been safe and been out of harm's way. Because when you drive that much, there is the opportunity for any number of things to happen. And you know what? And of course things happen, but you just basically develop this peace and this calmness and this knowing that you're protected. And it's almost like it's in slow motion and you see things happen in front of you and you have plenty of time to react to them and you're safe and you're protected. And I just could go on and on and on. I just love this topic and it's just so real to me. And, you know, I've been safe all my life. You know, we've all been safe all our lives. And I love the church family. I think part of that is that makes me feel safe is knowing I've got this family with me, you know, that in this body of Christ and the science. I like the way you said that earlier in your readings, science. That's what I think of it as a science. You know, it's just, you know, it could be called Christian Science, and it is, but it's just so evolved. It's just so deep, you know, it's just so much to it. And so thankful for Mary Baker Eddy, just, and your reading from the Sentinel is just wonderful. I just really appreciate that. And Bob, your testimony when you were a kid, that just, that's very moving. So it's been a good topic for a lot of very deep, and I'm sure everybody here, I'm not trying to get you up here, but I mean, everybody here is safe and everybody here has been kept safe. And there's a reason why and an experience that points to that. Maybe probably for most of us, several experiences. And I'm just so thankful for Christian Science. And like Kent Lemons, I love every minute of it.
Thank you. We're going to conclude our service with hymn 594. It's sort of a tricky one. So we'll just have to, we're going to go real slow on this one. But it has really good words. We're steadfastly protected by your power, encircled in the caring arms of love. Together we are sharing all our days now, and year by year comes blessings from above. We're each held safe by God's own holy power. Whatever comes, your comfort is at hand. You're at our side at evening and at morning, and each new day unfolds as you have planned. So we're going to try to sing this, hymn number 594. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.